go say hi to someone and say, go Canada, go. You decided to be here at church. Canada is just starting to play right now. Wow. And you are here. Since you are here and not watching the Canada game, I hope that you hear good and well done, faithful servant, because you are here today. And you know what? If you want to watch the game on your phone, God bless you. We hope that you can listen to today's message too. So if you are new here, we take sermon notes. It's an opportunity to hear today's message, but also apply it to your life this week. We have kids' church. So if you want to join us for kids' church, you could go with Pastor Joe and Pastor Vincent. And if you want to be a kid, feel free to join them because they have snacks. But today's message is our final message on being Spirit-led, what it means to find oneness or unity in the Spirit and with others. I want to encourage you today that you are not called or designed to be alone. We are created for relationship. And this might sound simple, relationship with God and others, but it's not as simple as simply saying relationships. A few years ago, one of the most famous songs of all time was talking about being lonely and alone. Alone from a breakup. Alone about heartbreak. And when her song was released, her song had 1 billion downloads in 1 week. On Spotify. It's the most popular song of about being alone at that time. And we see that it's popular because it resonated with our culture. You don't have to put up your hand, but have you ever felt lonely before? Isolated, misunderstood, not knowing what it means to truly have relationship with God or others? You feel that perhaps all of life has gone against you. Maybe you've experienced heartbreak. Maybe you've experienced what it means to have a serious breakup. In any case, I want to share and encourage you today that you are not alone in the Lord. But there is a singer named Miley Cyrus who wrote a song about this. And it's called Flowers. I'm not going to sing it because I'm a terrible singer. But this is the tagline of her song. So if we can go up there, it says, I can love me better than you can. And it's all a song about self-love. It's a song about putting ourselves first. And since 2000, and when the song was released in 2023, over 3 billion downloads, an anthem for our culture. I can love me better than you can. And maybe you and us as followers of Jesus even says that about Jesus. It's about protecting self. It's about making life about ourselves. And this resonated with our culture, and I'm going to go through this very quickly for 3 big reasons. The first one is our society. We live in a culture that is hyper-individualistic. It's all about me. It's what I want. Now, in the parents in the room, do you know what a McDonald's Happy Meal is? You know what the Happy Meal is because it gets you happy, right? Well, the Happy Meal was actually introduced in the 1970s because they realized, McDonald's, that families spend a lot of money on their kids. And where the kids go, families will spend more money, hence the Happy Meal. It's happy for our kids, but it's not happy for our wallets. And in any context, we see that McDonald's got this great idea that we should have a Happy Meal and have a toy. By the way, someone who used to go to this church, his name's Pastor Ivan, his dad actually builds toys for McDonald's back in China. It's quite amazing. I hope he gives to the pledge campaign. Pastor Ivan, I hope you're listening today. But in any context, yes, you can let him know I said that. But the Happy Meal was a business trick, a product to make us happy. And what we make ourselves happy is what we filter through everything else. And in other words, not only do we live in a hyper-individualistic world that wants to keep you happy, we live in a society that actually consumes relationships as well, based on what makes us happy. I call this the Happy Meal of relationships. If I don't have a happy relationship with someone, then I'm going to cancel them. I'm going to judge them. I'm going to villainize them. And we see this in culture. We polarize one another, and therefore we say that if I am not happy in a relationship that I'm consuming, then I'll just find another relationship. I Googled this about
What's the most lonely people in all of the planet? You know where the number one loneliness place in the world is? Vancouver. Vancouver. Did not know that. And we are living in isolated ways. Then I Googled, well, how do people meet in Vancouver? Do you know there's actually 1,500 dating apps just to connect in the loneliest city of the world? Even though we are packed with people. Because we live in a self-consuming, self-happy, self-loved world. And this is what I'm going to share lastly, is we live in a society or culture where it's me, myself, and I. It's about making other people think that I am happy. So even if I'm not happy, even though I'm isolated or alone, I'm still going to follow my own ways. And we consume happiness. We consume what we want, and if it's not going to be great, then I'll just go to the other relationship, I'll go to another church, I'll find another God, I'll find another happy meal, I'll find another relationship. It's the context of the world we live in, and we live in the most loneliest time of modern day history. I want to share with you today, and Miley Cyrus, if you're listening today, that self-love doesn't lead to love. It leads to loneliness. The truth is that someone does love us better than ourselves. His name is Jesus, a real person, a genuine person. He's not a legend or a myth. And this person is actually, if you are a follower of Jesus, not only lives in you, but you are called to give that out to a lonely world that lives in Vancouver. He died for our sins. We sang songs about who he is and what he's done for our lives. He was raised on the third day so that you can have relationship with God and experience his love. And not only that, Jesus died for our sins and was raised on the third day so that we can have one relationship or a healthy relationship with God, and therefore I can have healthy relationships with others. You cannot love yourself better than Jesus. You will never be able to love yourself better than Jesus. So why not trust him? Why not invite him to speak to you? Why not have oneness with him? Sorry, Miley Cyrus, you're not right. Because it leads to loneliness, not love. Self-love doesn't lead to love. Love leads to Jesus. And he gives us oneness. Paul puts it this way, into a secular, individualistic, highly entertainment culture in Corinth. He says, just as you and I have a body, though one has many parts. So as we have a body, we are many different parts, but we are one. Just like these many parts form the body, so is with Christ. For we were all baptized in one spirit, which is called the Holy Spirit, so that we could be one body. Whether Jew or Gentile, slave or free. So there's no ethnic groups in the body of Christ. We are all one. You can still cheer on Canada. And you can cheer on your favorite team, whatever that is, when it comes to FIFA Cup. But as followers of Jesus, we are all one in Christ Jesus. And we are given to not one just part, but many parts that make the body of Christ. This passage of scripture shows the imagery of how beautiful the local church can be. It's the same context that we are all different, yet what brings us together is because of the Holy Spirit. Why? Well, because you are designed for relationship. You are designed to be social. You are designed to have relationship, oneness with God. I don't have time to unpack this, but even the Holy Spirit is one with the Trinity. He's one with the Father, and he's also one with Jesus. There is perfect unity. It's the same with you and I. We are called to have oneness or unity with the Holy Spirit. That is our relationship, or the key word here is koinonia. It's a fancy word that means fellowship. So we're not social just to connect, have 1,500 apps about how to be socially connected to others that still leads to loneliness. We are called to have fellowship with one another, which means to do life with one another. Now, as our church continues to grow, it's really hard to have fellowship with other people all the time. But you can have fellowship with a few. You can join a home group. You could start a home group. Before or after service, you can get connected in a home group. It's not very hard to do, but it does take intentionality. And koinonia simply doesn't mean just fellowship, but it's a partnered and shared union. And in our hyper-individualistic, secular, consumer-based, happy meal culture, there's many different points that lead to loneliness. I was thinking of buying a pack of cigarettes for today's sermon, but I decided not to because I probably shouldn't be able to receipt that afterwards and then throw it in the garbage. I don't think my finance person or the board would like me financing cigarettes for the church. But in any context, modern-day loneliness is actually linked to smoking 15 cigarettes a day. By the way, I wouldn't have smoked a cigarette in front of you. I just was going to use it as an illustration, okay? Just want to be clear for those who are listening online. But levels of happiness decrease with loneliness. Hyper modes of loneliness makes us skeptical of others. We don't want to trust each other when it comes to loneliness. We tend to go to social media or we go to the internet rather than actually having healthy relationships with others to walk through things. It has profound effects on mental health, elevates risks of hypertension and strokes, dementia, diabetes, and the decline of cognitive function. This is all the reason why you and I need quality relationships. Modern day loneliness, considered in the World Health Organization, says that modern day loneliness is actually a human crisis in our world today. And this is why we need fellowship, our koinonia. This is why we should be part of a home group. If you are taking sermon notes, on the back page, there's a QR code to get connected in some type of home group. You need to invite koinonia, fellowship with God in your life, but fellowship with others, because that's what keeps us healthy. We are called to be social. We are wired to be social. We are created to be in koinonia. But not only do we see the context of fellowship as oneness, but we also see that there's oneness spiritually. As you see through the scripture that we read today, it is the Holy Spirit that brings you and I together. There's joy in relationship as we are being spirit-led with each other. Just like the human body has needs, like we eat, we sleep, when we're dehydrated, we hydrate, our souls has needs. We have spiritual needs. And just like the human body gets sick, our spirit can get sick too. Our souls can become weary or frustrated or burdened, heavy laden. And just like the body is designed to be healthy, our souls are called to be healthy. So we have to ask ourselves, what does it mean to have a healthy soul? Not just on a Sunday morning, but on a Tuesday night or a Saturday morning. What does it mean to have a healthy soul in my home or relationships or when no one else is around? Because you're not designed to be alone. You're called to be in one with God and others. Well, we see that God calls us as Pentecostals, but also in Scripture, to be a Spirit-led people. God calls us to be Spirit-led. This means the great promise that we have in Christ Jesus is you will never be alone. What a great promise. In our world today, Miley Cyrus says, when you're alone, just call out to self-love. Because loving yourself is better than no love, right? Or if you want to, just make it about you and then you're going to protect yourself from all the harms that when people try to love you, it's to isolate yourself from others to protect. But here we see, as a Spirit-led people, you are never alone anymore. It's not about a self-help love. It's a Spirit-led love. You are a Spirit-led person. And as you allow Jesus Christ to not only live in your heart or soul or mind, but in every area of your life, you will have oneness with the Spirit. And you will never be alone. How amazing. Wherever you are, even though sometimes we are misunderstood or we feel that we're alone, that no one understands, God always understands. He is always with you and for you. Even when no one else is around, He is for you and with you. You see, the FIFA Cup is on today, and we put our country colors on. You paint the faces. Maybe you've gone down. Maybe even after today's service, you sneak down to downtown and cheer on. We paint, not only our faces, but sometimes our houses or our cars. I was here for the one Canada game. I was here at church, and people are honking down the streets. People are cheering everywhere. Like, it's an exciting time. But in the same way, when we are Spirit-led people, we are not painted by the things of the world. We're painted by Christ. We start living in a different way. We start to find joy that is everlasting, and through the power of the Holy Spirit is not just to benefit ourselves, but to benefit others. Last week, I shared a story about us having the great opportunity as a youth pastor way back in the day to do high school assemblies on campuses, high school campuses. In one campus, they were overwhelmed with not having enough counselors, and it was the local church who had professional Christian counselors that showed up at the school to give their services for free to benefit the school, and they were overwhelmingly happy and overjoyed with that. That can happen here too. God has given us gifts as we've gone through this series. He brings us into oneness through the power of the Holy Spirit to reach out and to meet needs. But there's a story behind that story. You see, there was a 14-year-old girl who ran away from her faith. She wanted to experiment with things of the world, and she ran away not only from her faith, but from her family. And 2 years later, when she was 16 years of age, somehow, some way, she started to show up to one of our campus meetings in one of these high schools that we were doing. And a few months later, she started to show up at our youth ministry, a secular context. She gets baptized in water, and her grandpa hears about it and starts coming to church. He hears of us doing these high school assemblies, and he walks up to me after service one day, and he's like, "Andy, how much is this going to cost?" I'm like, "Here's the price tag." He's like, "I want to pay for it all." I'm like, "What?" I'm like, "Yeah." And he's a little older, so he doesn't like e-transfer, or, you know, he doesn't really like the electronic way. So he pulls out a wad of cash, and he gives me some cash. I'm like, no, don't give me cash. And people are walking by. I'm the youth pastor. Like, don't give me cash. I don't need it. And he's like, "Well, I'll write you a check." He's like, "What's the cost?" I gave him the final cost. And it was tens of thousands of dollars when we were able to do this. But he wrote it right there. He gave it to the church. And he's like, "This is because of my granddaughter." My granddaughter. You see, the Holy Spirit benefits us personally so that we can benefit others around us. And it doesn't have to be a big check. It doesn't have to be a wads of cash. Well, we will accept that, of course. But at the same time, it's basically valuing others enough to say, "I'm going to be a Spirit-led person to benefit others." But not only are we called to be Spirit-led people, we're called to be a Spirit-led church. Now, if you look at Scripture, this is another context in Philippi. He says, "Be like-minded, having the same love, being one in the Spirit and one in mind." This is the context of being a Spirit-led person. And the oneness that we find with God is oneness with others. Now, this is a very interesting study because this comes from a health study about what it means to find significant health when you're going through physical ailments. So I want to share this with you. A groundbreaking study in 2013 documented for the first time that physiological, meaning your health physically, when it experienced deep rest induced by practices such as meditation, deep breathing, and prayer, produces immediate changes in the expression of genes involved in immune function, energy metabolism, and insulin secretion, meaning that when you are actually having one with God, there is health factors that you are benefit. I call it the vibes of Jesus. When you are one with God, you are healthier. When you're one with the Holy Spirit, you are healthy. And when you are one with God and the Holy Spirit, and you're one with others, that means you have healthy relationships with others. Now, that doesn't mean that you get whatever you want and you do whatever you want, but you have healthy relationships. Now, practically speaking, a few chapters later in Philippi, this is what Paul says. And he doesn't say this very much throughout his letters, but he uses two names. He says, I plead with you, Eudidia, and I plead with you, Syntyche, to be in the same mind of the Lord. You don't see this very often when you read Paul's letters, but he's actually calling out two names in front of the whole church. By the way, I would never do this here, but it's like calling out names. It's like calling out someone in this section and calling out someone in this section and say, hey guys, you're causing some trouble. Figure this out because it's affecting the church. So he calls it out in a letter. Now, Paul could not read this letter. It's either Lydia who's reading this letter to the Philippi context or it's Timothy. But in any context, we do know that there's disagreements. There's disagreements with people. And there's a disagreement with these two people. We do not know the reason. We do not know what the conflict is. But we do see that God calls them to find oneness to one another. It's the same with you and I to have the same mind. So we have to ask ourselves what it means to have the same mind. Well, the same mind would have be, how can I see this person as Jesus sees this person? How can I lead this person to the gospel or to understand the gospel, to love one another? More likely in this context, these two people had different polarized ideas. It could have been theological, it could have been practical. We also know that the church was experiencing significant polarization from one another because it had to be addressed. But in any context, it says, be and have the same mind in the Lord. Not the same mind as Pastor Andy, not the same mind as one person or to the other, but in Christ Jesus. And we see that these people were mature enough to be able to figure this out. We do not know if they actually did, but we do know that Philippi is one of the most healthiest and most wealthiest and generous churches in the New Testament narrative. It's to settle a disagreement, to be one for the sake of the gospel. Have you ever been in an argument before and you have to say to yourself, how can I make this right in Christ Jesus? That's when the Spirit whispers to us and reveals himself to us. And this is the same vibes that I would say that make you one with Christ so that you can give the vibes of Jesus to others. There are studies that say that if you're positive and you're optimistic, that other people will experience that positivity and be optimistic around you. If you are a person that is loving because Christ has loved you, people will think you're lovable. It seems quite simple. But if you're full of anger or frustration or unforgiveness, it tends to bounce back off of you, the vibes that we give. So we have to ask ourselves, am I having the vibes of Jesus in my relationships? Am I a Spirit-led follower of Jesus? And am I sharing the healing qualities of the Spirit as we experience the Spirit as a Spirit-led people and a Spirit-led church? So what is a Spirit-led church together? Well, a Spirit-led church is a congregational style of church. So we make decisions together. It says to seems right or seems good to the Holy Spirit and to us. I don't want to take too much time with this, but we are on a journey as a church to revitalize our church to be a neighborhood church. We have changed our vision. We have changed our branding. We have changed our mission statement to be a neighborhood church. That is not a Pastor Andy idea. That is not a board idea. That is a oneness idea. That's a decision that we make as a church. If you want to become a member of our church, we are inviting you to hope, living hope through Christ Jesus, to give hope to others. And so it is up to us as a church to empower you with that hope through the power of the Holy Spirit that we could say together, this seems good or right to the Holy Spirit and to us. And so we make decisions that way. But not only do we make decisions on being a Spirit-led church, everything we do is based on who Jesus has said he is, what he has done, and that he is living hope because a church that is healthy is for the world. A healthy church is for unhealthy people. A healthy church reaches out to an unhealthy people. And sometimes it is easy as a church to become singular. It's easy to want what we want. It's easy to prefer what we prefer. It's easy to live how we want to live. It is easy to sing Miley Cyrus songs in church and never love anyone else outside of church. It's easy to make this about us rather than the Spirit. Yes, is it about us? We just read that, yeah. But it's about the Holy Spirit living in us. And just like the song Flowers by Miley Cyrus, sometimes we bring Miley Cyrus to church for ourselves. And we make it about what we want or what we get and make it benefit about us. But Jesus never did that. So the scripture verse in John chapter 3, verse 16 to 17, let me paint the picture. Because Jesus is actually talking to someone that was wrestling through what religion was about. He thought it was all about himself. He thought it was about what he wanted and his preferences. His name's Nicodemus. Great guy, by the way. He was a leader of the religion or the movement of God at that day. And Jesus just spins it all around. And he says this, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him," it's not based on your background. It's not based on if you were from a Jewish congregation or context. "Will believe in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. And whoever believes in him is not condemned to shame or to guilt or to sin any longer." This is how the local church impacts the world. This is how the world is changed. It's inviting people to experience an encounter of living hope through Christ Jesus. It's about partnering with God and what Jesus is already doing and the Holy Spirit is already doing in our church and around us through the Gospels of Jesus. We just simply need to be good followers. And not only that, you are not condemned. You are transformed. A couple weeks ago, there was a gentleman in our church that got sick, and he wasn't at church. That day, I had about half a dozen people, it was in our first service, say, "Hey, do you know who this, what happened to so-and-so?" And I'm like, "Well, this is what happened." That day after church, three people phoned that person and said, "Hey, how are you doing? We heard you're not here. Here's the reason why." And I thought to myself, what an amazing little church that would just get out of their way to phone somebody who's not here, who loves coming to church, who feels younger every time they come to church, but they can't now because they're not feeling too well. But there was people that phoned him and encouraged him and prayed with him and was for him. It was the church in action. My encouragement to you today, as we conclude what it means to be Spirit-led, is Spirit-led people have a healthy relationship with the Spirit, God, and with others. You do whatever it takes not to try to appease relationship, but to have healthy relationship through Christ Jesus. And we do this by trusting the Holy Spirit. We do this by praying for others to soften their hearts towards the Spirit of God. Because not everyone's going to like followers of Jesus. Not everyone's going to agree with you thinking that Jesus is the only way, but you pray for them by name. You pray for your kids that might have walked away from the Lord or have hard hearts because of religion. You ask God to soften their hearts. You pray and you let the Spirit move. Why? Because the Spirit loves your family better than you can. Because the Spirit loves you better than what you can. That the Spirit of the living God loves Miley Cyrus better than Miley Cyrus can. It's the same with you and I today. It is the reality of people coming to Christ. And that's where we see the Spirit moving in miracles, signs, and wonders when we align ourselves with the Holy Spirit. I want to share with this one last time as followers of Jesus, because sometimes in our hyper-individualistic consumer culture that we live in, we sometimes even consume God. And I'm not saying you're doing this, but I want to be open enough to say that I cannot guarantee that the Holy Spirit will give you everything you want in this life, but I can guarantee that the Holy Spirit will work everything out in your life. The Holy Spirit is not a happy meal that you consume. The Holy Spirit is not a person where you just show up when you can and want, get what you can and want, and just walk away. The Holy Spirit wants to infuse you, indwell in you, to transform you to be more like Jesus. It's not just enough to come to a Sunday service to feel happy and go on and be unhappy for the rest of the week. God transforms us to be more like Him. And when Paul is talking about what it means to be oneness in Christ, the Roman culture at that time was all about themselves. It's all about pride. It's all about themselves being elevated high, where Paul is saying, no, it's the Holy Spirit. And even in our modern day culture, our secular culture, we need to understand the different vibes because sometimes we mix them up. Sometimes we say, yeah, we understand that we live in a very individualistic, hyper-individualistic world, but sometimes we make religion or God about that too. Sometimes consumerism is like making ourselves happy, but sometimes we do that with God. And sometimes we think that, okay, if I can't find it, I will just cancel God. Oh, no, the Holy Spirit wants to empower you and give you keys and insight of how to handle disagreements well and to give the vibes of Jesus in our world today. I'm going to ask the worship team to come forward. And I want to ask you just a couple questions before we close today. My first one is, are you one with the Holy Spirit? Are you one with God today? Or do you feel that you are far from God today? He is near, He is close, He is with you, He is for you, and He wants to speak to you personally, contextually, and powerfully, because as you allow the Holy Spirit to live in you, He speaks to us. The better way I can say this is your healthy soul that you think you might be healthy is actually healthy? Do you live with a sick soul today? Even as followers of Jesus, our souls can be heavy. But do you have a healthy soul? The second thing I would encourage you today as we close today's service in response is perhaps the Holy Spirit wants you to be one with others. That doesn't mean there's not going to be disagreement or there's going to be differences or opinions, but you can still honor one another. You can still love one another. You can still pray for one another. Minister to one another, especially those that perhaps have hurt you or minimize you or misunderstand you. We pray for them. We ask the Holy Spirit to lead. And lastly, maybe you're here today and you're saying, Andy, I don't know what it means to be Spirit-led. I don't know what it means to be Spirit-filled and walk in the Spirit. And maybe you're here today and you haven't been part of these four services, this last sermon series. I encourage you to go back and listen. But if you want to be Spirit-led, Spirit-filled today, I'm going to ask our prayer workers to come up and they're just going to lay hands on you. It's nothing weird, nothing pushy. And it's just a prayer to say, Lord, we pray for you to be Spirit-led. But when you look in the New Testament narrative, it's not just a prayer. It's a transfer. There's a laying on of hands. That's part of the koinonia, fellowship, to do ministry with one another. And it's not to push people. It's not to make it weird. It's not to say, hey, you have to come up for prayer to be filled with the Holy Spirit. But if God is calling you, there is great people up here, trusted people, that will pray for you and just say, Lord, fill this person with the Holy Spirit. So let's stand together. We're just going to invite the Holy Spirit to lead us. I'm going to ask Pastor Paul and Janice to come forward. I'll be on this side. If you want prayer, if you have any need, don't leave this place needy, because the Holy Spirit gives us everything we need to be successful in life and in relationship and with ourselves. But don't leave this place dry and needy. Let the Holy Spirit meet your need. So God, we invite you, Holy Spirit, to lead us. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to fill us. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to teach us and to train us, to reveal to us what we need to give to you today. Lord, help us to experience koinonia, oneness with you, so that we can have oneness with others. Help us to understand what it means to have a healthy soul, to be Spirit-led, and to be a Spirit-led people so that we can be a Spirit-led church, to be like-minded so that other people will come to know Jesus. And yes, it's going to be a little cheesy, but to have the same vibes of Jesus so that we can see the world changed and transformed by your likeness. So if you're here with a need, friend, bring it to Jesus. If you're here today and you have a disagreement with someone, bring it to the Spirit. If you're here today and you feel dry and needy, bring it to the Spirit. And let God lead you as we sing this song and open up this front for ministry. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Let's worship together.